Our text is in Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. And let me say, before we start the exegesis of this, or the reading of it, it's very important that you realize where this comes in the story of Mark. Now it follows, if you're looking in the Nestle text, which is of course the approved text, it follows from the division at 8:27. And 8:27 begins, well actually it's even at 8:22 you have that man who is healed in two tries. And that kind of concludes a section. You'll notice that space that the editors put in after verse 26. The disciples do not see quite what the true nature of the Christ is, and that little incident of the double healing is almost like an allegory. I mean, it's not saying it didn't happen, but it's almost like an allegory to talk about getting sight of what Jesus's ministry is really like. So in verse 27 and following, you will notice that Jesus gives his first passion prediction in verse 31. And that is that the Son of Man is going to be betrayed and handed over and abused and so forth and die and rise again. And the disciples still don't understand this. What happens from 27 and following is now this revelation of Christ for who he truly is. Now when you're preaching this, I think you're going to want to put this in this entire context, because we have Jesus articulating who he is in verses 31 to 33 in the Passion prediction. Then he shows who he is in 9:2 to 9 at the Transfiguration. But let's back up one verse to 9:1. In 9:1, there is the statement, "Truly I say to you, some of the ones standing here," there are some of the ones standing here, "hoitenes, who shall surely not goisontai," from goio, to taste, "will surely not taste death," as a verb of sense, it takes the genitive, "until they see the kingdom of God come in power." Except that's not quite right. Notice that participle elelithuion. That is a perfect active participle. And when you have this kind of a construction, now what is the construction? You have a verb of sense, you have an object, and then you have a participle in predicate position, modifying that object. In those situations, very frequently, the participle is used to convey indirect discourse. And this is how we'll translate that. If you'll just look at your text in 9:1, please. "Until they see that the kingdom of God has already come in power." Notice it's a perfect tense. Has come and is now here in power. That will be demonstrated in the next pericope, which is the Transfiguration. Now, the real meaning of this kingdom actually is seen in the previous revelation by Jesus of the Passion prediction. But do you know that the kingdom has come in power? How this actually manifests itself is in humility later at the cross, but you can see that it has come in power by this demonstration. Let's go into it. Verse 2. "And after days six days, paralambanai," note the use of the present now, foregrounding. Mark foregrounds this by using the first principal part. Jesus takes along Peter and James and John and takes them up, literally carries them up, but I mean, I don't think this is an Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of scene here. Often I think Pharaoh is used in this take sense. Takes them into a high mountain. That's the normal idiom. You go not onto a mountain, but into a mountain. into a high mountain, Kat Idian, privately, by themselves, Manus alone. And Manus modifies them. He took them alone, by themselves, into a high mountain. And metamorphothe empros then auton. And he was metamorphosized before them. Now, that is another one of those examples of a passive used in an active but intransitive sense. He changed in front of them, rather than was changed in front of them. He changed before them. And his himatia, his clothes, egeneta, became stilbanta loika le'an. Stilbo is to shine. They became shining, exceeding white, loika. You know the word leukocytes, the white blood cells. That's related to this loikos. In Greek today, Greece today, if you go and look at a modern Greek paper, and they want to talk about the American government, the president is in the loikos oikos, the White House. That is actually the way it's worded. So, the himatia became shining, exceedingly white. Hoyas means the sort that. The sort that a gnafois, that's like basalois, a fuller, a guy who does bleaching, a bleacher upon earth is not able, so loikanai, to whiten them. Loikaino is the verb. That is actually an aorist active infinitive from loikaino, which means to make white. So in the sort of manner that a fuller on earth is not able so to make them white. Now here's another aorist passive in verse 4, taken intransitively. And appeared to them, see, not was seen, but appeared. And there appeared to them Elijah, with Moses. And they were, now note this periphrastic, eisan sululuntas. And they were talking openly with sul. Sul is sin, the ni assimilating to the lambda. They were talking openly with Jesus. And replying, by the way, that periphrastic you'll remember, indicates continuous action. And upon replying, it's kind of odd that that would be replying, Peter says to Jesus, highlighting now, Rabbi, Paul Rabbi, no, Rabbi, teacher, Kalun estin hemas ehode einai. Noble it is that we are here. Or, to put it in, let's say, more literalistic Greek, us to be here is noble. For us, that us is here, us to be here is noble. That would be a subject use of the infinitive. Kolon is neuter because it is the infinitive that is kolon. Kai, and let us make three booths or tents, skenas, for you one, and for Moses one, and for Elias one. For he was not knowing what he was replying. Now, there's an interesting variant there with that apokrithē, and it's not subjunctive. What we have here is subjunctive. It's elalai or lalai in some of the other manuscripts. Probably the subjunctive reflects an underlying cohortative, like, what am I saying? What shall I say about this? then in indirect discourse, that will be reflected by retaining the voice of the subjunctive. So he did not know what he was replying. Ekphoboi gar agenanta, for they were filling their pants. They were scared out of their minds. So it's kind of, why don't we make some do some stuff here? And it is an extremely upsetting experience. Now, they're really scared with the next point. Kai egeneta, and there appeared a nephele, a cloud, epi skiadzusa, overshadowing autois, them. Kai egeneta phone, and a voice appeared from the nepheles. This is my son, the beloved. Hear him. Now, I want you to notice that the cloud which overshadows is really a symbol of the divine presence. If you take a look at your Nestle text, you'll notice in the side margin, there's Exodus 40:34. That's the cloud that stood outside the tent of the meeting when Moses would talk to Yahweh. So they had good reason, really, to be quite frightened by this, because there is all the indication not only of supernatural things, but of divinity. And the voice comes from the cloud, "This is my son, the beloved." Now that's, of course, the same thing that's said at what? The baptism of Jesus. So it's a further affirmation halfway through his ministry, so to speak. Hear him. You'll notice in the side margin reference, there's Deuteronomy 18:15. That's where Moses says, a prophet will arise like this, him you shall hear. But 1 Maccabees 2:59 has a more interesting parallel. Well, old Mattathias is dying. He says to his sons, you go to your uncle, my brother now, and hear him. And First Maccabees reference actually uses this phrase with this exact tense structure, akuete autu, whereas Deuteronomy is akuseste autu, you shall hear him, indicative. The imperative in the present tense is used in 1 Maccabees in precisely, I would say, and this is really the important point for this pericope, in precisely the same situation of, what shall we call it, the passing from one to another of the position of authority. That's what I think the parallel to the Elisha passage is. See, in other words, in the Maccabees passage, the one who is now the authoritative leader is changing. And that's what you have here. How do you know this is the case? Because of the next verse. And suddenly, periblepsomenoi, upon looking around, uketi udena idon, no longer did they see nobody, but Jesus alone with them. Yes. The other people disappear because they are not those to whom you should be giving your allegiance, following, and so on. Jesus is the one who speaks. And indeed, if you want to pick up Hosea 11:1, out of Egypt have I called my son, Jesus is also the true Israel. He is the place where the true people of God are. That's right. Throw away that old covenant. Right. It is, after all, the kine diatheke. All right. Then finally, verse 9. Kai kata binanta auton, genitive absolute. And as they were coming down out of the mountain, diastylata, third singular, aorist, indicative middle from diastello, he commanded them, now the hina clause is going to be object, that to no one what they had seen they give an account. That diegesontai is a third plural aorist subjunctive middle of diegeomai, so that they give an account to nobody of the things which they saw, except when the Son of Man, anaste, third singular aorist subjunctive active, rises from the dead. And now the disciples, being the fickle as they always are in Mark, verse 10, and they kept the Word to themselves, seeking, discussing what is ta. Ta is like quotation marks. What is ta, this phrase, ek nekron anasthenai, to rise from the dead. So the disciples, in fact, are not being illuminated as we go along in Mark. Who's being illuminated? You're being illuminated. The reader is being illuminated. We're understanding who this is, what his position is, and what his mission actually is. And that, of course, is in the Passion prediction. Okay, thanks very much.